Well, it's very good to be back in Hong Kong.
開心咧可以翻返嚟香港。
And Shanghai and Chengdu, I was freezing the whole time.
係啦，我之前咧去咧上海同埋成都咧，哇，凍到我抽筋啊
！It's too cold there.
喺嗰度真係好凍。
The coldest place in the entire city of Shanghai.
係啊，即係上海咧最凍最凍嗰個地方喺邊度咧
？It's inside the hotel. I never heard of that.
喺酒店入邊，我竟然。
Maybe there was a demon in that hotel. I see that you have a lot of fun in the church here. That's a good thing. Now, normally when you come to church, you have a sermon and it's challenging to your heart, yes? But tonight's topic is not like that. We'll talk about a fun topic. An interesting topic. Now you would think as we become more modern in the world, belief in some of these things would go away. But it hasn't. There's many different examples of what we might call paranormal. And everywhere around the world, people believe in these kinds of things. Hollywood is very interested in this. Recently, a movie, The Right. Or Paranormal Activity. In my age, it was The Exorcist. Many countries are saturated with beliefs about the paranormal. In some countries, they think more about that than they think about science. There's much interest in this. Even just this last week, I had many questions in Shanghai and Chengdu and even here about things related to the paranormal. So let's talk about it a little bit. I believe, if nothing else, it could help us even in our evangelism. Imagine you're on campus. Yes, somebody, what do you think about angels? What do you think about ghosts? The Bible says something about that. I think a lot of people are interested in this. Now, here's my job. I want to give you a biblical perspective on this. And also a scientific perspective. And train you to think logically a little bit and even to be skeptical. Now, as a Christian, we should not be too skeptical of the paranormal. Let's go back to this list. Four things are in red. Because by the definition of paranormal I'll be using, they would fit that definition. So we should not laugh at all these people. Oh, they're just superstitious to believe in these things. Because there's things that we believe in. That would be in the same category, I think. So I think we should be open-minded. But we shouldn't be so open-minded that our brains fall out. That was supposed to be a joke. It wasn't funny. In English, that's funny, trust me. So here's my definition of the paranormal. Experiences that lie outside the range of normal experience of scientific explanation. This is really the same definition as supernatural.
这个呢，亦都系即系超自然现象嘅一个定义啦。
things which, if they were true, would not be explainable by natural laws. Things that could not be explained by science. Well, if that's true, then life after death would be paranormal. Because naturally our body decays. I guess even God would be paranormal then. And the resurrection of Jesus would be paranormal. So we should be very skeptical. Because most of these things are fake. But we should also be open-minded. So anyway, this picture represents the many different kinds of paranormal things that people believe in. Most things in those pictures are quite silly, actually. Now there are three possibilities. We're going to talk about 8 different categories. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's something that is real but does not happen anymore. Or maybe it's just a scam. It's not even real at all. It's fake. And we'll see some of these. I think the biggest category is a hoax or fake. Magic is an example. You have magicians, yes? In that case, everybody knows it's fake. And yet we enjoy it. Because it's unexplained. Another example is crop circles. You know crop circles like in England where they have these shapes in the cornfields? I have a picture. Yeah, crop circles. Yeah, those things. Those are obviously fake, and everybody knows they're fake. Then there's natural phenomenon. This is a wide category. Many of the things people think are paranormal, they're normal. And our senses play tricks on us. We misinterpret. Most UFO sightings would fit this description. The next is supernatural. Maybe some things truly are not within the natural realm. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with the fish and the bread, that's supernatural. No scientific law could explain how he could make food for all these people. When Moses parted the Red Sea, that was supernatural. In fact, Duke University, which is a very famous university, for many years they had a department of parapsychology. Studying things like ESP and that kind of thing. I had a girlfriend in high school. She had some very interesting abilities? A professor came all the way from Duke University to where we lived in Connecticut to spend some days with her studying her. I could tell you some interesting stories. Never play cards with my friend. These are interesting things. Now, science cannot disprove the supernatural. Many people say the supernatural is simply not real, and anybody who believes in it is stupid. And they would say science proves there's no supernatural. But that doesn't make sense. In other words, what they're saying is, everything can be explained by science. Therefore, there's no supernatural. Well, that's circular reasoning. Science cannot answer the question. But I think scientific approach to some of these things is useful. So, in every category, we'll ask, what does science say about this? Now, what's going to be our means of investigation? Oh, by the way, that's a hoax. That's a hoax. That's not real. Okay? One way of investigation is empirical. In other words, we ask, is this real in terms of things we can measure? Something is empirical if you can observe it, touch it, taste it, handle it. So for each of these categories, we ask, is there some actual physical evidence that says something unexplainable happened? Now, in this category is what I call anecdotal evidence. This would be personal experiences. How many of you in your life, and it's okay, nobody will laugh at you. How many in your life have had an experience that maybe would be described as supernatural? Less than I would think. I'm surprised. I raised my hand. But anecdotal evidence is generally unreliable. Somebody has an experience, you see something, but sometimes the problem is interpretation. On the left is a famous feature on Mars. And for many years, people said this evidence that is a human carving. It's empirical evidence. On the right is a more high resolution picture of the same thing. It's just a mountain. But with anecdotal evidence, our senses can deceive us. I want you to stare at that triangle for a few seconds. Just stare at it while I'm talking. And the point of staring at that triangle, and when I go to the next slide, is your eye is going to see something that's there that's actually not there. So for example, when you hear anecdotes of somebody they saw a ghost or a UFO, maybe you should question that a little bit. Alright, what do you see? What color is it? Blue. But there's no triangle there, right? Here's another one. Stare at that one for a while. Now this one's going to drive you a little bit crazy. Now when you're looking at that, stare at it very intently. But remember what the colors are, okay? Okay? Now you see the opposite color. So, empirical evidence can be deceiving. Now, what do you see there?
大家看到什麼?
Hands.
手啦,
those are actual clouds.
其實只不過是真正的雲,
so we have to be careful. I remember one time I was in the desert in Arizona. I was running up a road. It was so amazing. I saw a coyote. Off on the side of the road. I thought, wow, that's amazing. But then when I got closer, I said, oh, that's a deer. I felt kind of silly. And then when I got closer, it was a mailbox. And then it stayed a mailbox. So sometimes our senses can deceive us. Nevertheless, empirical evidence is important. Next is rational evidence. Sometimes things that people believe in simply are illogical. In order to believe that, you have to not think rationally. I believe astrology falls into that category. So occasionally we're going to ask, is that logical? And last, we're going to consider biblical evidence. Now, biblical evidence means the Bible says whether this is true or not. Now, I believe the Bible is inspired by God. And I believe that the Bible says something that's reliable information. Now, some of the questions tonight, the Bible simply doesn't answer. But some it does. There's the Loch Ness Monster. That's an elephant. Loch Ness Monster? Elephant. See? Now we're going to look at several different categories. Some of these will only spend 3 or 4 minutes. Some maybe 5 or 10. Okay, first category is aliens and UFOs. Are these real? Have aliens come to the earth and made these drawings? That's in Peru. People say you can only see that animal if you're in a spaceship. Or in a plane flying high above the earth. The Nazca Indians in the desert of Peru made these drawings. The Nazca Indians. In Peru, they make these drawings. Is this scientific evidence of a UFO? Here's a simple answer. Definitely not. There is no scientific evidence for aliens or UFOs. None. The only evidence is anecdotal evidence. People have stories. I saw a UFO once. I was about 19 or 20. My friends and I were, driving around. Now, we might have been high on something. But never mind that. We saw these green lights in the sky. They would stay still. And then suddenly they move across the sky. And then they flash green and red. And then move across the sky. It was a UFO. Because it was an object. And it was unidentified. But I believe probably there's a natural explanation. By the way, there's one of the Nazca lines. And there's an object found in the ruins of the Nazca Indians. These were worship sites. Definitely not evidence of UFOs. Now, let's apply logic here. Is it logical that aliens would come to the earth and they'd visit people, mainly people who are mentally unstable? Or some people see these things, but they have obvious natural explanations. Logically, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, really, let's say we went to another solar system and visited the planet. Will we kind of sneak around? Go into the sky? And just go away really quickly?
I mean,
the whole thing is really pretty silly. So scientifically, there's no evidence. Logically, this doesn't make any sense. Now, what does the Bible say about UFOs? Absolutely nothing. Is there intelligent life elsewhere? I don't know. Well, if there was, would Jesus have to go and die there for them also? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Now, is there life out there? To me, that's a scientific question. The Bible doesn't answer that question because it doesn't matter. Is there intelligent life out there? I have no idea. Have they come here? I say, definitely not. No, this is not evidence of UFOs. It's evidence of teenagers making trouble. This is not evidence of the UFO. That's a common phenomenon. There's somebody making a crop circle caught in the act. There's another crop circle. Okay. So from the point of view of empirical evidence, no solid evidence. Logically, it makes no sense. Biblically, there's nothing to be said. What about angels? By definition, angels would be a paranormal phenomenon, wouldn't they? Now, what does science say about angels? Absolutely nothing. Science can't prove that angels exist. They can't disprove that angels exist. Now, some people think people believe in angels just because they're superstitious. Or because they're not modern, and modern people don't believe in these things. Well, I tell you this, I'm a modern person. I have a PhD in chemical physics. I believe in angels, and I have good reason for believing in angels. I have very good reason for believing in angels, because the Bible says there's angels. The evidence the Bible is inspired by God is so strong, I find myself thinking, surely I should believe in angels. I can't prove it. And I won't try to prove it. So science really has nothing to offer to this question. What about logic? Well, if we accept that we are spiritual beings, And I believe common human experience says we are spiritual beings. Then the idea that there are other spiritual beings is perfectly reasonable, perfectly logical. Alright, so logic says it's reasonable. And the Bible confirms the existence of angels. There's seraphim. And cherubim. Archangels. They're people. Not human people, they're people. They even have names like Gabriel and Michael. The biblical evidence is they're not men and women, they seem to be without gender. So I believe in angels. Colossians 2:18 says don't worship them. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says that we will judge the angels. I have no idea what that means, by the way, but that's what it says. And Hebrews chapter 2, it says that we are lower than the angels now. Because of our physical bodies. But in the future, after we go to heaven, we'll be higher than the angels. So I believe in angels. There's no evidence against it from science. It's reasonable. The evidence that the book of Daniel is inspired by God is fantastically strong. And one of the angels in Daniel is Gabriel. So I believe in angels. So what does this have to do with us? Not very much, really. You know, some people said, oh yeah, that was an angel that helped me. Are you sure about that? There's one example of a sister in our church. She was on her deathbed. She was near death. And she said, I see angels. The people standing at her bedside, they were so encouraged. Wow, that's so awesome. She's seeing angels. But then a few minutes later, she said, I'm seeing aliens. Oh, it's not very reliable. So do people see angels? I don't know. Could be. They're real. And in some cases, angels in the Bible walked around and people didn't realize at first they were an angel. It's a fun topic. But I say, don't get too concerned about it. Next is apparitions. People who appear on the earth. You see that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus on a grilled cheese sandwich. I mean, isn't that amazing? No, that's not amazing. I live in San Diego. And a few years ago, there's a drive-in theater. Do you know what a drive-in theater is? And people said when the sun was at just the right angle, they could see the Virgin Mary. I don't think those people are very gullible. Another example that many Christians took very, very seriously. There's a protein, it's called laminin. And it has a cross shape. People said, see the cross. It's evidence of the cross. Real Christians, even friends of mine, said, isn't this amazing? I said, no, that's not amazing. That's connective protein. Many Catholics believe in these things. And I don't mean to be critical of Catholics, it just happens to be true. Many visions of Mary. They say paintings cry at certain times of the year. Some women get like wounds on their hands around Easter. In the city of Lourdes in Portugal, that many visions supposedly. In Mexico, most people believe in the Virgin of Guadalupe. I visited the shrine. I didn't see Mary. Now, there are actually apparitions in the Bible. For example, in Luke 24, after Jesus died, people saw him walking around. Of course, it's because he was raised from the dead. And in Matthew 27, after Jesus died, it says the graves came open and people were walking around. Now I believe these are one-time events that don't repeat. So I think it has no practical application to us as Christians today. And then there's the case of 1 Samuel 28. That's a very interesting one. You know what I'm talking about? Saul was unfaithful. He didn't want to do what God said. He didn't want to trust God. So he went to a witch. In English, we call this a medium. Somebody who speaks to people who are dead. Now, is this real? I know this is very common in China. Many people believe in this. Now notice what happens when you read the story. The witch, she calls for Samuel. And he comes. And she almost dies. It actually worked. Because this woman was a total fake. These people who do this, they're fake. They're very smart. They look at the person. They make a few guesses. I bet your grandmother's dead. And then they kind of take a clue from there. From your reaction. Oh, I can see that you're very sad about that. These people are fake. I don't believe it at all. But in this case, it happened. Now, was this a ghost? This was not a ghost. Because biblically, Samuel was in another place. It's called Sheol. It's the place where souls wait. They wait for judgment. And Saul said, why did you call me here? I was in the other place. Why did you call me here? So, is this real? Now, I believe almost all of this is not real. But is it possible, maybe, that some people can really contact the dead?
Some people
can actually contact the dead. Even though they're not here, that somebody could contact them there. I know it happened once. I say, maybe. The Bible doesn't really answer that question. I think maybe it's possible. But here's the thing. In Exodus 22 verse 18, it says anybody who does this should be put to death. Now, I don't think we should put these people to death, but God very strongly condemns any kind of things like this. Look at all the passages that say don't ever be involved in anything like this. Voodoo. African. Or in America we have a Ouija board. You know the Ouija board? Or go to a spiritist to contact the dead. The Bible is so strongly condemning this. It makes me think that it might be real. Don't go near it. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse
9,
it says that Satan can work counterfeit miracles. One thing I know for sure, absolutely for sure, if it's real, it's not from God, it's from Satan, so I have nothing to do with it. But I think most of it is just fake. Next, knowing the future. Astrology. On the right, on the left we have, no, on the right we have Chinese astrology. On the left we have sort of the Western astrology. On the bottom I think this is a Chinese kind of divination. I was in a museum in Chengdu yesterday and they had the tortoise shells with the divination. And the bones. And there's many kinds like this. All of this is people who want to know the future. Reading tea leaves. Reading the palms. Now, what's the scientific evidence for this? Science says this is certainly not true. Because time is linear. And we are limited by time. As natural beings, we have no access to the future. Now, look at this previous list. For talking to the dead. And sorcery and the witchcraft. The Bible treats this as dangerous and evil to stay away. But these kind of things, the Bible says these are just foolish, silly things. Don't believe it. So this is for gullible people. Now, but this is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. Because people who do this don't trust God. This is wrong to do, not because it's real. You can't tell the future by the lines on somebody's hands. But it's wrong to be involved in it, not because it's real. Because it means not trusting God. So have nothing to do with it. Oh, I also forgot about the logical thing. It's completely illogical. All these forms of astrology are based on the day you were born. But we don't become a person the day we're born. We're a person before we're born. And what if you have induced labor?
即是如果你是有
or maybe a cesarean section.
或者是口腹、生、總之出生就不是正常自然出生。
Does that change your astrological sign?
又不是你的星座。This
is totally illogical.
这个绝对是不合逻辑的。
So completely illogical.
完全不合邏輯啦。
Scientifically it makes no sense.
在科學上面呢啲嘢都係
The Bible doesn't say it's dangerous from Satan.
即係聖經冇話呢啲係危險，亦都冇話呢啲係來自撒旦。
It says it represents lack of faith.
代表呢係對神冇信心。
And it's a sin for that reason.
而就係咁樣覺得係一個罪咯。
What about prophecy?
咁預言呢?
A similar topic in a way.
其實都係類似嘅題目嚟嘅喎。
Prophecy and dreams.
即係啲報夢啦、預言啦。
Now the Bible describes prophecy as real.
但聖經咧就話預言係真嘅喎。
There are many examples of prophecy.
在聖經裡面有很多預言的例子。
The book of Daniel.
在但以理書。
The book of Revelation.
在啟示錄裡面。
There's many prophecies of the Messiah.
很多很多關於救世主的預言。
Now, how should we think about that?
我們應該怎樣看這些?
Now, in Deuteronomy 13, verse 1,
在申命記13章1節,
God gives a very, very high standard for believing a prophet.
即是神給一個很高的標準,怎樣相信一個先知?
He says, if this person is a prophet,
如果這個真是先知,
everything they say has to come true.
每一件事他說的一定要成真。
Either that or don't believe them.
如果不是這樣,不要相信他們。
And put them to death.
甚至要置他們於死地。
It was very dangerous to claim to be a prophet in Israel.
在當時以色列,如果你說自己是先知的時候,是危險的。
Now, there's a famous prophet in America.
在美國有一個很出名的預言家。
Her name is Jean Dixon.
即是她的名字叫Jean Dixon。
In 1963, she predicted that John Kennedy would be assassinated.
在1963年的時候,她說總統約翰金麥迪會被刺殺的。
And he was.
真的喔。
What are the odds?
What are the
percentage odds?
即是有幾多個percentage,即是他估中呢?
Very surprising.
即是很驚訝。
The odds are 1 in 60.
是,那個機會是1,60分之1。
Because roughly every 60 years, a president is assassinated in the
States.
She never got an important prophecy right ever again. She is not a prophet. By her standard, by the Bible standard, we in the Old Testament, we would have had to kill her. She's lucky we're not in the Old Testament. Now, in the Bible, prophecy always had a very, very important reason. It wasn't like, who's going to win the horse race so you can make a lot of money. I believe that God would not ever give a prophecy to any of us. In fact, there are biblical implications that the time of prophecy has ended. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says prophecy will cease. In Zechariah 12 there's further biblical evidence that prophecy will cease. And besides, the Bible says to test these spirits. The Bible encourages skepticism about the paranormal. In 1 John 4, it says, don't trust every spirit. Test them. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 2, it says, don't be alarmed by prophecies. Because how does it affect how we live our individual life anyway? So, I believe prophecy is real. That God, for a very specific reason, in order to show the inspiration of his word, will tell his people what lies in the future. But I believe there is no prophecy today. Remember that second category? Real, but no longer happening today. Now what about dreams? I've had many people say, I dreamed something and then it happened. How do you explain that? I say, coincidence. On an average day in the world, I think there are about 20 billion dreams. Sometimes they come true. Sometimes in our dreams we re-experience in the past. And then it happens again. Could God communicate to us through dreams? I guess he could. But I see no biblical reason to believe it. God could allow you to have a dream and then it makes you think and then you respond to that. I say, don't even go in that direction. Oh, here's another passage that talks about being careful not to be deceived.
1
Timothy 4:1. Now what about demons? Now this is a difficult topic. I believe belief in demons is perhaps the most common belief in the supernatural. That and belief in ghosts. So are demons real? Now what does science say? Science cannot offer us any evidence for or against. What does rational thought say? Well, if we accept that we are accountable, and if we accept that evil is real, and I believe evil absolutely is real, and there are spiritual beings that have a choice, then reasonably it makes sense there could be spiritual beings who are evil. Just like there's people who are evil. Now what does the Bible say? You know, it's really interesting. There's very few examples of demons in the Old Testament. Very, very few. All the people around the Jews believed in demons. It was very common. And yet the Jews had almost no experience of demons. But then in the time of Jesus, there's many examples. I assume if you know the Bible, you know some of these. I'm not going to go to those now, but there's many examples. The child who was thrown to the ground. The guy whose demons were thrown into the pigs. So it seems like there were more demon activity in the time of Jesus. Let me tell you, I believe in demons. Some people say, well, the Bible talks about demons. But that's just metaphorical. They're not real. It's just sort of a metaphor for the evil in us. You know, it's like a demon of lust. It represents the sin. It's not real. But the problem is, Jesus talked to the demons, and they talked to him. Sounds real to me. And Jesus was raised from the dead. I think he knew what he was talking about. So I believe there are demons. Now, one possibility is that when Jesus came, the demons were more active.
I mean,
Satan went after Jesus in the desert. It's possible that Satan was especially attacking at that time. Because I don't know, I don't see a whole lot of demons going around right now. But there are some cultures. You go to some places in Africa. I've been in Indonesia. If you tell those people there's no such thing as demons, they'll tell you, you're crazy. There are many anecdotal evidence of these things. I could share a story. This comes from Indonesia. According to the disciples there, they said it's common that some evil guy would step on the bus and put everybody on the bus into a trance. And then steal everything from all their pockets. And then step off the bus. And later people kind of come out of the trance. And they've all been robbed. These are Christians that tell me this story. I was visiting the city of Bandung.
Bandung,
a city in Indonesia. The evangelist there said, one time this happened, but it was a school bus, and when the bus got to the school, the one adult woman was possessed by a demon. She was doing stuff kind of like in the movie Exorcist, you know? That kind of very weird. Now, normally in Indonesia, they call for a mullah, a Muslim guy. But this was a Christian school. They were embarrassed to call a Muslim guy. And one of the teachers at the school was a part of our church. So they called our brother. And so he went. And he prayed. And he, I don't know what he said, but and he said as he prayed more and more and more, the demon would go away. And when he stopped, the demon came back. And he prayed harder. And after an hour and a half or 2 hours, the demon went away. I don't know how to think about that. I believe Satan is real. I believe Satan is an angel who rebelled against God. I believe other angels rebelled against God. I believe demons can have influence in this world. I think there's two extremes we should avoid. One is to think too much about demons. To see a demon here, a demon there, a demon everywhere. Another one is to say, oh, there's no Satan, Satan has no power. The Bible says Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, I have good news for you. Satan cannot, a demon cannot possess a Christian. It is absolutely impossible. So if you have a Christian that says, oh yeah, I think maybe I'm being influenced by a demon or possessed by a demon, I guarantee you that is absolutely impossible. The devil and the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the same person. And Ephesians 6 even talks about this. That God fights these spiritual battles.
神咧去亲自打呢啲嘅属灵嘅仗。
We don't need to live in fear of this.
我哋唔需要咧喺呢啲嘢咯，即系过得好恐惧咁样。
Now we need to resist Satan.
我哋需要咧对抗撒旦。
I believe we can give Satan a foothold in our life.
我哋觉得我哋可以咧挡咧撒旦。
We can't be possessed by a demon.
我哋冇可能被。
Is demon possession real?
如果咧即系魔鬼上得原来系真嘅。
I don't know.
我唔知。
I think it's probably real.
我觉得都有可能系真。
But I have no scientific proof of it.
我冇科学嘅证据证明。
And I don't even have biblical proof of it.
亦都冇咧圣经嘅证据证明嘅。
Now I have a good friend. She's a sister in the church in Denver.And she has a ministry to help people who feel like possibly they've been influenced by demons. You can go to my website, you can see a talk by her. But one thing for sure is Satan cannot take over our lives. Certainly can't possess us.And he can only influence us if we're willing, if we give him room. Now, what about ghosts? Now, there's a picture of a ghost. Actually, it's a hand holding a gerbil or a hamster.A friend of mine, John Clayton, he's a guy who goes around disproving all these false beliefs in the supernatural. He took that picture. It's just a photograph that wasn't exposed correctly. Now, belief in ghosts is very, very common.Now let's ask, what does science say about this? There is no scientific evidence for ghosts. I don't care what people say, there is none. Now, last June, we put on an entire conference on this topic. We had several famous people giving talks on this. One of them explained almost all cases of demon possession are really purely psychological phenomenon. This has been proved by many scientific studies. But not that science can disprove these things completely. But I believe that almost all the supposed demon possession situations are people with deep emotional and psychological difficulties. I have a friend who's a Catholic priest. He actually does exorcisms for a living.I don't know what to say about that, but even he said almost all people who say it's demon possession, it's not real. I send them to a psychologist. And this is a guy who does it for a living. I really appreciate that. Because he has less income by being honest. But there are some anecdotes that he could share that might be very convincing. Now, at our conference, the brother who leads the entire San Diego church, 1,000 disciles, he told a story about a ghost. Or he didn't say it was a ghost. He said this very, very strange thing happened. I don't have time to tell you the story. There's some copies of all the lessons from that thing and back. You can pick one up later. All I can say is he and his wife and their children had a very very, very interesting experience.
即是說呢,
which I'd say, to say coincidence is seems almost not rational.
如果你說一個巧合理論,
so what should we say about ghosts?
那我們應該說鬼的,
now first let me give you a definition.
首先我說個定義給大家聽,
a ghost is a disembodied spirit.
是一個呢,
in other words, a person who's dead, whose body is decayed,
死了,他身軀是腐敗人,
but their non-physical part is walking around.
但他的,即是不是物質那部分呢,
science it does not help us with this one. What about the Bible? I believe the Bible says this is not real. So I don't believe it's real. I don't believe that definition, that that is real. Here's why. Because the Bible says that when we die, we go to another place. The Bible calls it Hades. In the Old Testament, Sheol. In the parable of Lazarus, it describes paradise. And another place that's not so good. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that Jesus went there. And preached to those in Hades. So the Bible says, we don't stay here, we go over there. That's why biblically, talking to Saul, talking to Samuel, biblically that's possible. But there's absolutely no biblical evidence for ghosts. Remember the apostles thought Jesus was a ghost? They said they thought he was a ghost. Jesus laughed at them. So I don't believe there are ghosts. So what about all these experiences people have? How do you explain them? You know, I really don't know. Maybe it's the influence of demons. Most of the examples of people seeing ghosts, it involves separation. A woman who lost her young child. Lives taken suddenly in a very emotionally charged situation. I believe there's a psychological explanation for most ghost experiences. Even in the case of my brother that I shared earlier, Robert, his mother killed his father and then committed suicide. And then they went to the house where that happened. So that might explain what's going on there. There might be something real going on. On an emotional level. But I feel very confident his mother was not still living there in that house. So I don't believe in ghosts. I don't think they're real. Science doesn't give any evidence. There's no logical reason for it. The Bible gives an alternative explanation. So I can't explain every single case. By the way, part of that conference, we did a ghost hunt. Because the conference was on the Queen Mary, a very famous boat. The most famous place for ghosts in the entire U.S. We hired a professional ghost hunter. We paid her a lot of money. No ghosts. Now what she does, she puts you in this room, it's really dark. And it's really quiet.
很靜。
She says, if you're really quiet,
她說你們大家非常靜,
if you look,
你們大家看看,
maybe you'll see a ghost.
你們看看,
it's just using the power of suggestion.
只不過是一些提議,令大家有些幻想嘛。
She made a good profit that night. What about reincarnation?
那輪迴呢?
Is that real?
是真的?
No, it's not.
不是咯?
People who believe in reincarnation,
人相信輪迴,
that's because of Buddhism and Hinduism.
因為可能是佛教啦, 或者是這個的印度教啦,
that religion is not true.
我的這個是不真的。
The cosmology doesn't agree with reality.
因為他們的研究觀和真實是脫離的。
According to that cosmology, the universe is eternal and the universe is God.
根據他們的宇宙觀呢,其實就是宇宙是永恆的。
Now, first of all, the universe is not God.
即是大家知道宇宙不是神的嘛。
And even from a scientific perspective, it's also not eternal.
從一個科學角度,宇宙都不是永恆的。
So reincarnation is not real.
所以呢,即是輪迴不是真的。
And we shouldn't have anything to do with that. Now there's one more topic I'm going to skip. I'll just mention it. This is huge in America. It's the form of supernatural, by far the most common belief in America. It's that when people die, the heart stops briefly. They have an experience of a light at the end of a tunnel. They see angels and their family and things like that. A lot of Christians believe in this. They even use it as evidence of life after death. We need to learn to be a lot more skeptical. It turns out it, when the brain is deprived of oxygen,
即是告訴你,當你的腦缺氧的時候,
this has been studied scientifically.
這個在科學研究過的,
the body, the person feels like they're floating. They feel separate from their body. They see lights. All these symptoms are perfectly explainable by science. In fact, you can take an electromagnetic field and you can induce the same visions that people have. It would be nice if this was evidence of heaven, but it's not. Please be more skeptical. Last example. Miracles. Are miracles real? Absolutely. They're also supernatural. The evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead is overwhelming. Because his tomb was empty. And there were over 500 eyewitnesses. One eyewitness, maybe. Five eyewitnesses, pretty good. And 500 eyewitnesses, all of whom would die before changing their perspective, changing their conclusion about that miracle. I believe in miracles. Science doesn't answer the question of miracles. All science can say, if somebody is dead and buried for 4 days and their body smelled very bad, if they were resurrected, that would be a miracle. But it doesn't say whether that could happen. All science says, if that happened, that would be a miracle. Well, guess what? That happened. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. Why did they kill Jesus? Because he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, when Peter was preaching about Jesus in Acts, he says, Jesus works signs and wonders and miracles as you yourselves know. There was no one in the audience who said, really? I hadn't heard about that. I mean, tens of thousands of people flocked there because of the miracles he was working. Even the Jews who hated Jesus, they admitted he worked miracles. One of the Jewish Talmud, it says he worked miracles. They said he did it by Satan's power. Well, that argument wasn't convincing while Jesus was alive. There's plenty of evidence in the Old Testament for miracles. I wish I had time to talk about that, but I think I need to end. The evidence for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by fire is very strong. The evidence for the destruction of Sennacherib's army outside Jerusalem is also very strong. Sennacherib reports what happened. So I say miracles are real. What about modern day miracles? Now in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4, it says in times previously God worked miracles in order to confirm the new revelation. We don't have any new revelation. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13 it says miracles will cease. Now is God still working miracles? I say yes, but not the kind that was happening in Jesus' day. So we shouldn't get too fascinated with miracles. There are many false miracles even in Christian churches. People think about that way too much. I believe when we pray, God can answer that prayer. But these things are hard to prove. I think it's a matter of personal experience. If God worked something that was for you, was a miracle in your life, I say amen for that. But don't base your faith on that. Your salvation is not dependent on any miracles. The resurrection of Jesus, that's a miracle, and that affects your salvation. So today, miracles are not an essential aspect of Christianity. But prayer is, and God answers prayers. So here's my conclusion. I hope you found this at least a little bit interesting. Many claims of the paranormal are simply not real. Almost all the paranormal claims are fake. People are making a lot of money off of people who are easily convinced. We as Christians should educate people. Because people are attracted to this kind of thing because they know there's something out there, and we know what's out there. The God of the Bible. As Christians, We do not need to have any fear. Whatever supernatural things that are real, we have nothing to fear. God is in control of such things. We just trust in God. So that's my final comment. Trust in God, Jesus said. He says, trust also in me. Says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Now, heaven is paranormal. Heaven is supernatural. And I'm planning on being there someday. Thank you. Good, good job. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. 相信咧，即係今晚即係John Book呢個class咧，其實無論對於在場嘅即係基督徒或者非基督徒咧，相信都係真係好有幫助嘅。其實我諗翻啦，即係其實自己咧係即係以前未做基督徒嘅時候，其實咧即係聽到啲超自然嘅嘢咧，其實令我真係好擔心、好驚啦，即係唔知點做好啦。咁啊，我記得嗰時係好驚去即係睇鬼片嗰啲。 咁但係坦白講，我後屘做標圖嘅時候咧，我跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇啊？跟住咧又點個標圖嚟睇 起身咁樣，咁所以自此我都再冇睇鬼片。所以咧，其實真係覺得啊，今晚即係聽到即係莊瑞教翻嘅時候，其實真係令我去諗，即係聽到嗰個超自然現象，即係原來有啲係騙局嚟嘅，呃咗人嘅，啊咁明咗，其實幫咗我哋。或者其實我諗最容易，即係俾我哋無論基督徒或者非基督徒去分到嘅就係，其實有邊啲嘢係摧毀緊你信心，而有邊啲嘢咧係建立緊你信心。又好感激，即係今晚咧當張叔叔講嘅時候，其實咧真係好多嘅即係解釋啦，係俾建立咗我哋信心。而我哋知道咧，即係當有神喺度嘅時候，其實我哋邊一啲就唔好掂，邊一啲嘅時候我哋就要俾心機去學習。啊，好感激咧，即係張叔叔今晚即係佢呢個 class 嘅時候，咁我諗咧即係係一個好嘅機會，即係如果嚟到在場嘅人，即係會有啲啊，即係問嘅時間啦，呢一刻咧就可以舉手咧，即係去即係啊，用一個發問嘅時間啦。咁我哋在場咧帶領都會有啲麥咧俾你去發，咁盡量如果你得嘅時候用英文咧去發問嘅。好咁啊，即係而家可以咁樣嘅。如果真係唔得嘅，我都可以幫你翻譯到個問題嘅，係啊，咁啊，非常有一個。
Hello, John. I'm Alex from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And I really appreciate your speech today. And I have a question. I think it's of less connection with your talk today, but I think it's really important for me. And the question is that, what's your opinion on the evolution theory? Do you think that it's contradictory with the existence of God?
You want me to comment on evolution, yes?
Comment,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll take a little bit of time.
Before I answer that question, I forgot to mention something during my talk. At our conference on the paranormal, Doug Jacoby gave a speech, many of you know him. In the interest of full disclosure, about half this outline came from Douglas Jacoby. So I stole half my outline from Douglas. So when you hear the CD, you're going to go, oh wow, he should have mentioned Doug Jacoby since he stole his material. Now, what does the Bible say about evolution? Nothing.
没什么说的。
Now, the Bible says something about creation of life.
圣经有说过呢，就是创造生命。
The Bible says God created life.
圣经说呢，就是神创造生命。
It also says that God created the universe.
也都说呢，神呢创造了这个宇宙。
Now in Genesis 1, it says, you know, God created the universe, let there be light, and God created the earth. Now as a scientist, I'm absolutely convinced life could never come about by some random natural process. In my opinion, the only reason any scientist would ever believe that is because they assume it to be true before they look at the evidence. The simplest conceivable living thing has hundreds of millions, in fact billions of pieces of information. And natural processes with inorganic matter never ever creates information. It's impossible. Now, once God created life, the Bible describes how all the different species were created, but it doesn't say how it happened. And Genesis is not a science. Genesis 1 is not a science thesis, it's a theological thesis. And I believe the days in Genesis 1 represent periods of time. So basically what Genesis 1 is saying is God created the universe. God created life. The universe, God created the earth. He created life. He created many different species. And then he created us. In that order. Well, that agrees with science. So I believe part of God's plan was evolution. And since God in... And since God invented evolution, we should give him credit for it. And evolution is an amazing process. I don't think DNA could have come about by any random process. No way. Neither could proteins be created by a random process. But God created this amazing system where the proteins and the DNA work together to make copies of the living thing. That process is incredibly precise. The mistakes are so rare that scientists have a hard time even estimating how often they happen. Something like 1 in 10 billion base pairs, there's a mistake. Those mistakes produce mutations. Almost all those mutations are harmful. But there's a very small probability that that mutation could be helpful. Evolution of bacteria and viruses have been shown in the laboratory.
即係喺細菌啦，即係同埋咧，即係病菌啦，即係病毒嘅進化論咧，喺實驗室咧都係有啲研究嘅。
Now let me give you my opinion. Okay?
嗱，即係我講啲我嘅意見啦。
I believe the process of going from one-celled animals to us was not random.
我相信咧，就一個咧，即係單細胞嘅細胞到我哋人咧，呢個唔係一個隨機會發生嘅。
I believe that God directed that.
我相信神咧係即係有咧，即係引導當中嘅過程嘅。
And that's not a scientific statement.
呢個唔係一個科學嘅即係證據啊。
I'm saying that partly because of my understanding of God. Many scientists simply can't understand how that many positive mutations could happen. Nevertheless, evolution is a natural process. The idea of evolution from simple animals to the most complex animals. The fossil evidence supports it in some ways, but there's large gaps. But the DNA evidence is very strong. So I believe the different species on the earth are related. Through a process of evolution, that was God's plan, but I don't think it was totally random. Just like I believe our lives are not totally random. Normally God leaves us free. He doesn't change the light from green, red to green to help us get to work on time. If a car is coming towards you on the road and you're a Christian, he doesn't miraculously throw it out of the way. But God does influence. He does it in subtle ways so as to not take away our freedom. And I think the random natural processes in the universe are part of God's freedom in the universe. But that God intervenes, and if God had not intervened, we would have never evolved, or complex creatures would not have evolved. Now, by the way, I believe in Adam and Eve.
You believe in?
Yeah, I believe in Adam and Eve. I believe God made Adam and Eve. That He gave us a soul and a spirit. He gave us freedom, free will. The ability to give and receive love. I believe we are a special, miraculous creation. But I see no contradiction between evolution and the Bible. But completely random evolution, I'm questioning that. Okay, next. Probably have time for two or three more questions.
Hello, John Fox. Many people will think that some people will believe something that is supernatural. For us, we will also believe something that is supernatural. How to, for your opinions, how to treat these kind of people when we meet them, or how, what you think about, because we are not, we are not believe the things that God expects. We cannot discuss on rational level. What do you think about this?
That's a very good question. And I really should have commented on that during my lesson. I'm going to put that in my notes for next time, because that's a very important question. See, it's hard to argue with people's experience. Trying to prove to somebody their experience was not real, I think that's not productive. So I think we need to take people where they're at and try to redirect their thoughts towards the Bible, towards the Gospel. And let them reach their own conclusions. Some people are in churches, they're into all this miracle stuff. I don't think it's our job to say, oh, that's just a bunch of fake stuff. They probably have had experiences that you can't explain. And I say, don't try to explain it. Generally, I don't mean to be critical, but those churches don't preach repentance and discipleship and righteousness. So I would say, oh, that's interesting. Thanks for sharing that story. Let me share you my experience. I go to a church where people live righteous lives, where they take following Jesus seriously. We have amazing relationships. So I changed the subject. I think it's disrespectful to try to disprove their experience. So I wouldn't do it in most cases.
Dr. John, thank you for your very, you know, logical and brilliant question. And I would like to ask a question is about how about taking part in Halloween activities as a Christian? It's a quite hot topic in Hong Kong. You know, some churches even, you know, launch some protests against Halloween activities because they think it is like passing on some evil message here.
Yeah.
So as a Christian here, what do you think about whether we can just feel free to enjoy it, or we should also, you know, try to avoid or stop talking about it?
Okay, another very good question. Now I think there's a whole range. There's some things that are black and white, and there's some things that are gray. For example, I don't think you should take part in a seance, like trying to contact a dead person. People who do witchcraft, you should not get involved in that as entertainment. Now, movies about those kind of things, that's a gray area. Because we know they're entertainment. We don't take them seriously. And yet some people might feel like watching something like that for entertainment is giving it a certain amount of credit. That's what I would call a gray area. Or I think we should give people a certain amount of freedom to have their own conviction. And if you have a strong conviction about that, you should feel free to share that. But we need to be mature as Christians and recognize what are gray areas and give people a certain amount of ability to make their own decisions. Halloween's a good example. My wife and I put on a Halloween party fairly often because we work with the singles. But we ask respectfully, come dress like a Hollywood person, or I don't know, Batman or something. But don't come dressed like a demon or a witch. I'm not saying it's sin, but as a Christian, I think we should try to keep some healthy distance from that. So things people do as individuals is another thing, but things the church does together as a whole, I think we should set a little bit higher standard. So, and one Christian in the church goes to a Halloween party. You know, somebody might be offended. But I think if the church puts on a Halloween party, we should set some standards. Not to be judgmental, but to be sensitive. I think we should honor those who have a sensitive conscience. Not laugh at them. Some of us laugh at people with a sensitive conscience. But I think maybe we should honor people who have a sensitive conscience. Paul dealt with this in two places in the scriptures. In Romans, and I think it's 1 Corinthians. The question was eating food sacrificed to an idol. He said, idols aren't real. So to sacrifice meat to an idol that's not real, it doesn't do anything. So what's the matter? You know, whatever. But he suggested there are people in your church who used to be involved in idolatry. They did it as part of their worship. For them, it probably would be sin to do it. So he said, be sensitive to their conscience and don't do it. So I think let's be liberal on things that are gray areas. Let's listen to those who have a sensitive conscience. But let's not be judgmental.
Okay.
Maybe one more.
Okay. 宣傳的時間，就是宣傳我們咧，下一個咧會舉辦嘅即係單車活動咁樣。